Well, welcome, Danielle and Izzy. Thank you so much for coming to Kindred and for sharing your family story. I'm just going to take a moment and tell our readers and listeners that the reason you're here today is because it's not only Autism Month, but we're releasing the world premiere of Ministry of Surf that features your work. And the slogan on that short documentary is One Perfect Day. So we're going to hear your story today that is the precedes the one perfect day, which is years and years of imperfect days. And I'm not going to give it away. So maybe we would just want to dive right in and let you tell us, where did you meet and what was your plan for your life?
Where do we meet,
Go
honey?
ahead.
We met in San Clemente. I had just kind of gotten out of a life of a vagabond, of a real interesting lifestyle of my father wanting to take all nine of us and live in a camper and travel around the United States. So we didn't go to school. We read a little bit, we wrote, but I was probably illiterate, I guess, and I wasn't great socializer. So we met at a party. I jumped out of the camper at 15, and I was on my own since then. And Danielle and I met in San Clemente, and we kind of fell in love and had a whirlwind romance for a couple weeks, and then she left to Europe on a trip, and then I had planned to move to Israel to, I think, live forever. That was in the back of my mind. So I fly to New York and meet my sister with $20 in my pocket, ready to migrate to Israel, and which is kind of irrelevant, but I saw this jacket at Camrod. It was a Vanson biker jacket, and I had to borrow $40 from my sister so I could buy a jacket, and then I felt whole to go to Israel with $0 and a nice biker jacket.
That he
And
still
so,
has.
and yeah, I still have. And but we corresponded through illegal telephone connections
On his end.
from Tel Aviv. We knew which neighbor in the apartment had gone out of town, so we'd shimmy up a pipe and connect the phone lines, and then we would talk for 9 or 10 hours, which 6 months later, the people got a $10,000 phone bill because I was away for quite a while.
Several months.
And then she kept writing me letters, these beautiful letters, full of stars and confetti and stickers and stuff like that, which I still have.
So you were you 15 as well, Danielle?
Oh no, he was older then. He was just saying he moved out of the camper
Oh, he
when we
moved out.
when we met, I was 18 or 19. And he was like 21 or 22.
Yeah,
What
I
were you
was old.
doing? He was old. Oh,
What were you doing?
I just had completed a year of college down in San Diego, and I went to visit my friend who was going to school in Europe. And I wasn't sure at that point what I was doing, but I wanted to go visit her, and I knew that, okay, I have time right now, so I wanted to explore Europe a little bit. And I actually had met a guy from England before I met him, who I kind of had a little fancy for, and I went to go visit him too. And I decided when I went to visit him that no, this one was my person,
Who
kind of
was?
made up my mind. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what I was doing, but I was only gone for like 3 weeks, and then I came home, and then I just started working for my mom. She had a hair shop, and I just kind of wasn't sure what I was doing at that point. I was just young and finding my way, but I knew that I wanted him to come back. That's
And I did, and I didn't. Danielle picked me up from LAX and in a big limo, which I don't know how you got the money.
was working.
And I had nowhere to live. I had a 65, a bitchin' 65 Impala that was so clean and had 60,000 miles on it. I had that. And then her mom and dad let me spend the night at her house that night. And I don't know whatever plans were. I was used to living in day by day. And then in the morning, I was surprised by a wrap on the back of the slider. And I opened the door, and it was a Orange County sheriff with a gun pointed at me. And my mind was racing, and it was racing because I just was like, what's going on? I've been gone for almost 6 months. Here's my passport. And the sheriff goes, whatever, come with me. And I couldn't figure it out. So her mom and dad are up. We get to the front of the house. Another sheriff is there with holstering his gun. Her mom's screaming at me and cussing, and her dad is like laughing, saying, hang on, let me get a camera. I want to get a picture of this guy before he goes, because that's the last time he's ever going to come into this house. And so I get to the squad car, and one of my friends, who I won't name,
ratted him out.
Told the sheriff, if you get me Pasquitz, I'll let you both go. So and I knew I'd lent my car to my brother, and he racked up a bunch of tickets. So I had warrants out for me. So it was like, I got home. That was my one. So but never, nothing ever is like easy for us.
Well,
nothing's
then
ever,
I was
never,
like thinking,
ever normal.
Thinking to myself, what the heck am I doing? Do I even want to be involved with this family? But ironically, my parents knew his parents. My dad made him his surfboard for, my dad was a surfboard.
A bar mitzvah board.
His bar mitzvah board, and they knew his parents. I just had never met him. I met his brother. And ultimately I'm thinking, okay, he's got no money. He lives in a car. He has to stay at my parents' house because he's got nowhere to go. Doesn't really have a job, but he was funny as hell and made me laugh. Mm. And to me, he's still funny. Mm. That's what keeps me going. Humor is just so important to me. And he was cute. So that
were you surfing? Was he like the cute surfer guy? Were you surfing then? Oh, he's I see your pictures in your book and of the two of you when you were young, and you have the caption saying, "Look how smoking hot we are," and you are. It's
awesome. I never did that.
It's in the book. I'll show everybody. Here's a great book. That is a great read. Really wonderful read. Scratching the Horizon: A Surfer's Life. Fantastic read. So
anyway, and then all my friends are saying to me, what are you doing? Because then we got engaged like 6 months later, and it was nothing not an exciting proposal. We just like decided, we were on the train. I was working at the LA Mart at that time. I think you came up with me, and we spent the night, and we were coming back, and then we just kind of talked about maybe we should just
get married. All hungover that night before. We were up till the wee hours of the night, and I think we got early train. I don't think we went to sleep, having a breakfast or dinner at Cantor's at like 3 in the morning, sitting next to Kurt Cobain and Courtney Love, and we just got done singing a concert. I forget who it was.
It was a concert.
But anyway, so we're there, and we're with some friends, and they go, "Oh, I got to get Kurt Cobain's autograph." And we were too shy. And Danielle had a few cocktails. She goes, "I go over there," goes straight up to the table. "Hey, Kurt, I want an autograph." And he just kind of looks down, was ignoring her. And Courtney nudges Kurt, and he goes, what? And then
he was nodding out. He wasn't ignoring me.
Maybe he was nodding out. So his manager's pissed off. And then Danielle says, she goes, Courtney says, give him an autograph. And she says, "No, okay, where's the paper? Where's the pen?"
Okay, I got nothing. And so Courtney takes her purse and she dumps it out on the table, and all this paraphernalia comes out with a pen and then some paper. She's stuffing it back in. And then Kurt, so he signs it. And then I go, "I need two."
And then she goes, "Yeah, I want another one."
And he did it. And I gave both away. Don't have them. Gave them both to the who we were sitting with. I'm like, here you go, here you go. So,
yeah.
I'm like, damn it, I wish.
So
I
then,
still
yeah, on the train home, we said, hey, want to get married? He goes, yeah, why not?
So what year was that? You got married. How long was it before you had children? Two.
Those 87, we got married. Mm-hmm. And then I got pregnant in 89 and I had, or 88, my daughter was born in, our first child was born in 89. And then Isaiah, our son with autism was, and I was 22 and 23 years old. He was born a year later. Mm-hmm. And then we had, and then we, life got hard. We weren't going to have any more children. Then surprise, we had, I ended up having a third child. And at the time I was very nervous about it. I was nervous about autism because our son had been diagnosed already. And of course I just, my whole pregnancy, I was a nervous wreck.
You know, you'd have nightmares and wake up and screaming. Like,
it was awful.
You know, I was, dreamt out of birth, the baby with two heads or.
Yeah, you know. Just all this stuff is just, yeah, mm-hmm. I was scared, but he's perfect. He's 27 yeah, years yeah. old and he's an amazing, successful
man. That was Elijah, was our last one. Child.
Yeah. And so we've been for what, 30? I don't know, but what I was going to say was all my friends were kind of laughing at me, just going, what are you marrying this guy, this loser that lives in a car and blah, 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 blah. And however many years later, 35, 36, whatever, 37, we're only one still married. So take that.
So I just want to look at this beginning, because you both are really adept at living in the moment and being in the now. And then what happens with your second son, Isaiah, do you want to tell that story of when you were at a competition and there was a meltdown, as you say, and you had to figure out something quick to do to help?
Right. And I will tell that story. That was a world championship in Haleiwa. And Danielle and I were over, and that was when I was really, you know, the competition aspect of my career really kicked in. And it happened later in life. I wasn't like, you know, a little bit of the amateur contest when I was young, living in the camper with my father. But when I moved out, you know, I went straight to Newport Beach with John Mead washing yachts, and I'd wash boats. And I still carried that job into my professional career. Even when I had incredible endorsements and I had Nike and I was in 18 million inserts for Nike in these beautiful full page portraits of our faces, along with Michael Jordan and Andrew Agassi and Bo Jackson, shot by the amazing Dennis Menarche. People will say, oh, you're Izzy Pasquis. I just saw you in GQ or Sports Illustrated or Esquire or Rolling Stone. My career kind of kicked off as we were having children. Mm-hmm. So this particular trip, and I always tried to bring the kids when it was locally and Danielle, and I somehow budgeted them in for Hawaii and gave my sponsor a one page and said, this is what it's going to cost for food, a rent a car and a hotel and for airlines. And I ended up, you know, staying at a friend's house and borrowing his car. So with the extra money, we all went to the contest. And at that time, you know, it was hard even just describing what was wrong with Isaiah, other than from the outside seeing, you know, incredibly difficult behavior, not just screaming and crying like you usually see in kids red in the face and because they wanted something, but then it would escalate to biting and scratching and eloping. And, you know, God, he developed his great skill of raining blows on his head. And, you know, at that time, I looked, and Danielle had him while I was in the water surfing.
But keep in mind, I have another child who's only 1 year older than him. He's two and she's three. So, or however old it was.
So So yeah, so I came out of the water, I looked at her, and she's bawling her head off, and Isaiah's psychotic. I mean, he's just uncontrollable. So I grabbed him and I threw him in the water as far as I could.
No,
But
maybe you were just trying to snap him out of it.
when he popped up, he stopped crying. Of course, he couldn't breathe, but he stopped crying, and he snapped into a giggle. So I had a friend grab my board, and we just paddled straight out as far as I could, and just something magic happened. Something that only then I knew was a gut feeling. Now it's the knowledge of that's a physiologic reaction to the water, and going in the water and making yourself feel good and your heart rate going down, and the effects of people that write books on the water, they call it the blue mind. And when he's in the water, he was a little bit better. So we paddle around, and at that, all of that,
Well, he also had a gift though with the water. He out of all three of my children, taught himself. At that time, he already knew how to doggy paddle so he could come up. But he taught himself to swim before he just started jumping in like friends' pools and stuff. I was like, holy, I'd be sitting there and he would just be running and I'd be, oh my God, chasing him around, and he'd jump in and then just start doggy paddling around. Like, I never had to teach him how to swim. He never had to go to swimming lessons. The other typical children, I had to take to swimming lessons. So it was, that to me was just like, whoa, he has some kind of connection with the water that the other kids don't have.
So in the book, you say that other people noticed this, and you were just doing it, and you didn't realize it was being observed in some kind of technique. And then other parents were saying, "What are you doing here? That looks like that's working or helpful. Can you show me how to do it?" It seems like there is a seed there that was planted for surfer's healing,
Yes.
your
So
discovery.
yes. So that seed was planted when Isaiah was 3 years old and he started his little special preschool. I don't even know if he had an official diagnosis yet, but he had the, delayed language, delayed, et cetera, back then. We ended up taking his class. There was only like, 4 or 5 kids. Surfing, I go, let's share it after we saw what was happening with Isaiah with these other kids and see what happens. And it was the same exact effect.
But it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. Each of the children that I took out, and that's kind of the origin was Isaiah, and then it was Sonic, Cliff's son, and then Dove came, and then hit some of his classmates. But each child I took out, there was always that resistance, and clawing, kind of trying to put a cat in the water. And then I'd paddle out, we'd get past the breakers, and it required a little bit of skill and knowledge of the waves, to know, four or five waves, six waves coming, I knew exactly where they were going to break, and I was experienced in that. But the other aspect of it was paddling out and just holding this child, and then me bawling my eyes out. And that, and a little bit of that's kind of the origin of surface healing, because I felt that it was healing me. And every child, I kind of did the same thing. I paddle out, hold them, I would say, why them? I get it, Isaiah has to go through it, but do all these kids, have to have, this differentness to them? And I know it's going to carry with them for the rest of their lives, and they're going to be, they're going to need care forever and ever. But the greatest connection that I had, and the realization that the water worked, and the surfing was just fun and rad and a great way of me to connect with my healers and the other surfers that wanted to get involved, was that when I was in the water with Isaiah, the dreams of him being a pro surfer, like my contemporary Joel Tudor. And then his son Tosh is one of the greatest surfers in the world. And I wanted that for Isaiah. But when we were in the water together, it didn't matter. We could be in the water, we could connect, we could ride together on that surfboard. I could put him on his bully board and push him into waves, and he would ride on his belly all the way in, and he'd be so happy. And it was my awakening of this was something special. This was something very unique to autism that really changed the behavior of the child for that day, and sometimes lingering into other days of him being more connected and of him being more engaging. And I think a little bit of that is kind of an awakening, you know, of the children in the water.
So this one perfect day is what Ministry of Surf, the short documentary that, by the way, just finished a year at international film festivals and picked up 8 awards, including the Cannes Film Festival Best Humanitarian Award. So this is still, your child is still young. And in this film, you get to see your son is grown. And and I know before we started to film this, you were talking about the difficulty of sharing his story now with parents who know because they're living it, and then with the public who might be don't want to know. Maybe it's just a little too difficult to bear. But would you like to tell us, and I'm only kind of going to the end here because of the time, but there is this huge story of Surfer's Healing building up over the years, and I'll send everybody to your website so they can see what you're doing there, and I think it's thousands of families that you're touching a year now. You've been around for 25 years. You were saying you would like to be around for another 25, but a lot of the families have kind of been, as you're saying, social media is kind of marginalizing the real story there, especially as the children age. Do you want to take a moment and kind of speak to where you are now?
Yeah, I will just real quickly. With our son, he really doesn't converse. He'll tell you his basic needs, and he can be very difficult. You know, he's 6'3", he is 310 pounds, and when he is in a rage, it is very difficult. It's very difficult. Now, I also think back that, and I love the aspect of, there was many imperfect days, and I was a very imperfect father. I was a very imperfect husband, running away and hiding at my waning surfing career, wanting to be away from the family because I didn't want to deal with the reality of a special child. But now being able to take care of myself and being healthy and being present, what a gift, what an honor it is for me to be my son's shepherd, to go through this lifetime and take care of him. And in my mind, there's no failure. You know, even if he does trip out and freak out, you know, I can handle anything now. I feel like all it takes is just a little bit of a tweak and adjustment. And I can handle anything because I'm a shepherd and we're his shepherd for the rest of our days. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful. And we get to meet incredible people, and he has renewed, confidence in humanity by who he is. He's so kind, and he's so sweet. And he's, you know, we went out to see a surf movie last night, took all the boys, and he's just giggling, this big dude radiating, and people pick up on it. Like, wow, you know, the pizza boy was like, who are you guys? You know, why are you so happy? I'm so happy because I'm so grateful for the little things of him just smiling, and I can look at him and he's smiling, and I'm so happy. The world is in sync, and it is perfect. So that's our job for the rest of our lives. And I feel like I'm, really contributing in a great way, because we could marginalize it and just take a few kids out and take a bunch of selfies and say, look at me. And I think we need to do as much as we can. So it really feels like we make a difference. So Ministry of Surf and having that short story out there is a great example of what we do. And I love even calling it that. You know, it is a gift from God. It is our mission in life that was given to us. And I'm grateful for it.
In my mind, I really enjoy not, just helping the kids and even for the kids about the families, because the rest of the families, if you have a more severe child like we do, the rest of the family suffer too. I mean, our other two children have suffered. They, there was a lot that we couldn't do, even just going to dinner. There was so many times where we would just have to, we'd sit down, the food would come, and Isaiah would start throwing the food or in the drinks or knocking stuff over. My youngest son would be under the table hiding because he's so embarrassed, and we would just have to grab everything and leave. Same thing in the grocery store, we'd have to just leave the basket there because Isaiah's throwing a fit, so we'd all have to go, and the other kids would, have to come with me if I'm by myself, which most of the time at that stage in our lives I was. So to me, it's important to support the entire family. So we invite all the whole family to come down to the beach, and we serve them all lunch, and I want them to stay as long as they can. Some can only just do their lesson, they have to leave, and some can hang out all day, and it doesn't matter what that child is doing. And the siblings don't have to feel bad that their brother or sister just ran over to the towel next to them and picked up somebody's drink and guzzled it. It's not embarrassing. We're all living the same life.
Danielle, I can imagine you could write your own book about the caregiving resources that you had to engineer and discover during that whole journey.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot back then.
It wasn't a lot.
And I had my mother. That was pretty much it.
Yeah. Has the Surfers Healing community provided a community of families that stay in touch, I can imagine, after these
events? Absolutely. They, sign up and come year after year, and we've met so many families. And, we all exchange advice, information. Those of us have the older children, those of us who have the younger children who learned about something new that we never knew back when our kids were 5 years old in the 90s or whatever. There's a lot that the parents who are living the life can exchange and help each other out with.
Well, I'd like to invite Collins and Keith to come in now. If you'd like to spend our last couple of minutes talking about the film and the messaging that's in there. And I'd like to share my own response. I still can't watch it without the father talks about how this one perfect day for his family is exactly what you just said. Their children are treated differently. It's totally fine. Whatever is happening, the meltdowns, everybody's understands. We're in the moment. We're going with the reality of what's happening and living in the now. I mean, this is a Zen practice. But when Rob speaks in the documentary, his voice cracks talking about how wonderful that feeling is. It just gets me every time. I can't even think about it.
Yeah. I can't either. You're making my eyes water just thinking about it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And he's a stoic dude. I don't imagine he cracks very often.
Oh gosh, no. All right. Well, we'll have Keith and Collins come on now and tell us a little more about this documentary. And you guys can visit. I'll just facilitate.
Come on down.
Come on down.
Come on down.
This is Collins.
Good to see you.
Keith coming on his mobile device. Where are you?
Got trees in the back.
I got mine on, Collins.
How's it going, man?
I know, right?
Look at that.
I should say, no, I, I, This guy, you know, he went through cancer. We went through cancer as a family. We were on lockdown in 2016, 17, part of 18. Keith had to go through the whole chemo, loss of all of his hair. And after that, he said, that's it. I'm never shaving anything again. And that's totally fine. That's where all this is coming from. And, you know, when COVID came along and we had to all go in lockdown again, we were like, yeah, been there, done that. We know how to do this. Okay.
So, Lisa, are you telling me that he lost his beard and that's a new one?
No, he did not have one. I was married to a clean shaven looking guy, somebody else.
Okay.
Second husband came along.
just beard envy.
Yeah.
This Cambodian biker has taken like 50 years. And that's it.
Oh, yeah.
I used to look like Colin, short hair and no beard. And now my hair is, I guess, as long as yours, you know.
You could tell there was an Irish guy under there.
Well, great to be here, Keith.
Yeah. Hey, are you guys going to that Endless Summer one? Are you guys going to that festival?
Heck yeah. That's right down the road.
Good. Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, would love to.
So, Danielle, is that your family festival? Is that right? Do they celebrate your, don't you have something to do with that old movie?
Yeah, my father. Yes. He always gets up and talks, and they always give
him. Why is it in the summer?
Give him an award. He was a member of the original band, the Sandals, who performed the music on the original Endless Summer, and he was the drummer.
Yep.
And he co-wrote some of the songs, not the actual Endless Summer song, but he plays on it. I think there's a picture of him somewhere.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yep.
Yep. So he's had a lot to do with it, and he also worked in the surf industry his entire life and built Hobie surfboards for 35 years.
Yep, built Hobie surfboards with the ground up with Hobie Alter. You know, I even worked there for a little bit.
So there's some history on my side too, which a lot of people don't know.
I know. I'm going to have to delve into that in the copy underneath where this interview is posted. We'll put more about you there, Danielle, and especially the caregiving piece. And maybe we should just have a whole other interview and talk about. I'm sure you could, like I said, you have a plethora of resources that you probably discovered along the way. But so tell me, you all spent a day together on, I don't even know if you were there, Danielle, in Virginia Beach that day that they shot the Ministry of Surf.
Was I there that one?
Isaiah won't let you go.
Oh, well,
she won't.
No, I wasn't. Oh,
you
no.
Go to the North Tour.
Yeah, no, that one's the, so I have gone, but now that's, he wants to go with the boys, which is fine with me because then I get a break anyways. So it's just the boys. I'm like, bye.
Yeah, it's so cute too, because he just, you know, he misses everybody and all the surfers who, that's what we used to call them. We used to call them instructors. All the surfers who, I can't use that word anymore because what they do is so important, and it's so challenging to do it right. You know, to really showcase kind of their talents, but then you're like, no, my talents are invisible. It's all this child is riding through you. That you know, we call them healers now. And I don't want to just say it's the healing autism, but it's so bigger. It's so much bigger than just that ride. It's everything. It's hard days. It's, you know, a lot of imperfect days, like you said, and leading up to this one perfect day. And I want the best surfers, the girls and guys in the water that will take these angels and make sure that they get the most important ride of their lives. So,
and Isaiah's role now, and it's so cute, you know, he's 33 years old. He's like the big kahuna when he goes down to the beach, and it's so cute. And then he'll just kind of sit there on the beach. He'll go to the water and put his feet in, come back up, have a snack, sit there and watch. And then we'll ask him throughout the day. One time Isaiah didn't want to go surfing, and he'll go, usually. Yes. And we say, okay, who do you want to surf with? And he picks his instructor. It's so cute for that day. It's usually Bucky. But sometimes he mixes it up.
Yeah.
And it's really cute. And he'll go in and he'll catch a wave or two, and then that's it. And then he's done for the day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very cute.
Yeah.
Izzy, what's the name of the surfer on the movie poster? The healer. What's the name of the healer on the movie poster?
That is an amazing woman surfer, right?
Right.
That's a Kat Neff from Jackson.
Okay, that's right. You mentioned her. Yeah.
And it's so beautiful. I love the connection that we all have. So Kat, we brought one of our healers, Dylan from San Diego, and they ended up falling in love, and she moved out here and is living with them, and they asked me to marry them. and then this weekend we also have Tegan, who is in it, and we have Noah, her fiance Noah Cardoza. I'm going to marry them in a few days on Saturday.
Oh my God.
These are our healers. All getting married.
The Reverend Dr. Izzy. That's fantastic. Yeah.
I love it.
The old doctor be proud.
Yeah, it's my first one. So, and all of that, and having you guys there and capturing our third generation, you know, the young kids, you know, that consists of those three guys in that particular shoot. Was Ben and Ashton and Tosh was amazing, you know, because I didn't think they were ready yet, but they were a little premature getting in the water, but they were so talented and they were so eager, and they have such heart. Is gorgeous. It's the evolution of, and allowing us to, you know, to do this longer and longer if we keep recruiting these guys.
And Ashton's career is taking off, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. He's like a super famous amateur surfer, and all the pros know him, and he's out here for the wedding too. So it's beautiful. It's great, the relationships that obviously come out of that, you know, with all our guys, and we stay in touch with everybody all year long, because you go through something that is so condensed. And it's, you know, it's a South tour. It's, you know, seven camps. Each of the camps are 200 children. So each of the boys have to take out at least 10, you know, 10 children, you know, and have to be in the water for that tour, a total of almost 35 hours when you add up to it. So a lot of the guys, you know, at the end of it are just like, this has changed my life. You know, I'm a completely different person now. This is so heavy. This is so emotional. This is so funny and so fun. And it's such a important part of their lives too. Like when I see them take a screaming, the hardest child of the day, and make it look so damn easy without the mom and pop, and hopefully auntie and uncle and grandma and grandpa are there watching, and they don't feel like their child is a burden on that instructor. It's just joy. It's easy. It's effortless. It's mind-blowing. It's absolutely mind-blowing.
Do you guys have your 2024 healer team together yet?
Yeah, we're working on it now, and you know, and it's kind of cool. It's not like the old days 26 years ago, where I'd have to beg and I'd have to bribe. It is, you know, and a majority of Hawaiians, California, a couple of New York guys, some hammers from Puerto Rico. When I ask them, they feel like they've been picked and that they're special. And they go, oh, thanks, Uncle Izzy.
Part of the selection. I'm so
good. Really? Oh, man. Yeah. That part, you know, makes
really,
it easy.
It's really nice.
You know, a lot easier on me than in the past. So and that's because they see, you know, how important it is to the parents.
You mentioned Hawaii. We weren't going to apply, but Honolulu emailed us the other day and said, would you please apply? And we did. If we get into that one, are you guys going to go to that one? I think it's in July. Are you guys going to be out there anyway?
July. Hopefully.
Maybe.
Hopefully. We can go for a day. It's important to us. Hawaii is an important place to us. You know, not only I was born and raised there, and my father, you know, his heart is in Hawaii. His ashes are in Hawaii. We draw from so many families, such heritage surfers that come out of Hawaii to do surfers healing, out of respect for them, might be cool to go over there.
Would it be Waikiki? Is that where it would be?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah. So
okay, I'll see you there.
Hawaiian crew.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming. Thank you for coming and sitting in, Collins. I got to get the behind the scenes report from Collins and Keith on exactly what you were describing earlier, which was the sometimes the transition, so the arc of moving children into the water and then the transformation is truly amazing. And to see some of these children even standing up on the boards with the professional surfers behind them hanging on to their life vests, and they're in it. They're totally immersed in this whole experience. You can see them go into that ocean rhythm, that healing vibe. It is a dissolving of something stressful. It dissolves out there. So I hope everyone will understand what they're witnessing when they see the short film that we look forward to rolling out here soon. And is there anything else you want to share about surfers healing, where we need to go, what we need to think about?
No, just, I would say, our website is Surfers Healing, Instagram too. We encourage anybody that just wants to come bear witness on something pretty unique, something pretty special. You won't believe what you see, the emotion and the intensity. And also, we're always looking for wonderful partners that align with our values and who we are, and want to help us share this story of neurodiversity and autism and how unique these children are and how the water is made for them. The water is magic for our children with autism. They need the water. And I mean any water. A dirty old can of water, from your hose on the ranch in Wynnewood, Oklahoma. Put your head in there if you can get it in there. Oh, you're going to feel so much better. We're blessed with the Pacific Ocean. All bodies of water. That's where it's at. The surfing is just super cool. That just binds us healers.
Well, thank you both so much for coming. Thank you, Danielle. Thank you, Izzy. And thank you, Keith and Collins, for coming over. And everyone, you can see the world premiere of the Ministry of Surf film. The trailer has been out for a while, but you'll be able to see that here on Kindred. So you can look for it on our Vimeo and YouTube channel and website at kindredmagazine.org. So there's my plug. And thank you so much again.
Hey, guys.
Bye-bye. Hey, guys.
Thank you, Keith. Thank you, Miss Lisa.
Thank you.
Love you guys.
So much.
Love you. See ya.
Thank you.